Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Turn with me in your Bibles. You already received the word today? Amen. God changed my message. I don't know why, but we're going to find out. I'm going to preach my message next week that I had already planned. Turn with me to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, again. Now, I didn't have you turn to it when I was talking about tithing. But there are some things in there that the Lord told the Israelites, instructing them when he brought them out of bondage. How many here believe that God brought you out of bondage? Amen. And when we get out of bondage, there's things that God wants to share with what he told the Israelites the same way he's telling us today. The only thing is, we're walking under a brand new covenant. To God, it's still new, and it'll always be new. It's forever. It's the last covenant he ever made with all humanity. In fact, the scripture says once God winked at sin, but now he's commanded in this day to repent, that all men should repent and be saved. Amen? That word isn't used a lot today, but repentance, I believe, is one of the main ingredients to get God's attention. Amen. If you don't believe me, read the comparison of the righteous man's prayer and the sinner's prayer. He hears the sinner's prayer. He doesn't hear the self-righteous prayer. The person that's, you know, God just wants people to be real. He's not looking for you to be something that you're not. He's looking to you to be an open vessel for him to fill. He's wanting your availability, not your capability. He's able to make us do whatever we need to do. If he calls us, he enables us to do it. Amen? And he's just looking for people that are real in him. Amen? One of the things that I've noticed just in this past year, that God's opened up some things about myself. Things that were there that I did not know. Anybody ever go through that? And he wants to bring that out of me and get it out so I can deal with it. And he can take it from me. Amen? And all I can say to you is this, let God do it. Just let God do it, because he has a better place for you and a higher calling for you to walk in. Amen? God's got a better place for you, higher than you could ever get for yourself. Amen? And now that you're his, you're authorized to go wherever he wants to take you. And he'll enable you to get there. You might look at your situation, it's an impossibility. But what's impossible with you is not impossible with God. Amen? And if it's something that you think you can't financially afford it, God will make a way for you to afford it. Amen. If you'll just believe him. Amen. And I can say that people argue with me about tithe. I don't know why. Because there's a blessing. One thing about God, there's always a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Always. If you do something that in the natural you can't do, God will enable you in the supernatural to do. And that's why I want to bring some things out that he wants us to do to change. Look at your neighbor and say, I want to change. Verse 7, chapter 8. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land and a land of brooks of water. Now, he was talking to the Israelites when he brought them out of Egypt, brought them through the desert. They crossed the Red Sea. See, you must understand now, when God brought the Israelites out of captivity, he brought them out of Egypt. Egypt is a type and shadow of the world. When God brought you out of Egypt, it's the same way we came out of the world. We got saved. How many here have gotten saved? Amen. But you know what? He didn't stop there getting saved. He had to bring them to the Red Sea. Amen. And when he brought them to the Red Sea, guess what? All those enemies he had in his life that he was bound up with came behind him ready to chase him down. And what happened? God said, you're going to have to believe me to get through this. Because they were right on their tail, amen? And God had to do some impossible things. What they could see was impossible was not impossible with God. You got to remember, you're God's. Once you make that decision, make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you can choose to Him to be Lord of your life. Amen. So when He brought the Israelites to the Red Sea, they didn't have nowhere to go. They had the enemy on their backside. They had the Red Sea in their front. Guess what? God used a man of God called Moses. God gave him a word in the night season and said, now, I want you to command your people to move forward the next day. Because they were about to be overtaken by their enemies. But see, if you look at it in its spiritual aspect, or in respect to your life, the enemy always tries to come behind to retake or reclaim what you've made or what you've changed in your life. Amen? So in the nighttime, he says, I want you to command them in the morning to use, I want you to use the rod, which is the type and shadow of the word, and touch the Red Sea and command them to move forward. And the Bible says as they moved forward, the water was congealed and they walked on dry ground. They had to start moving forward before the water even got divided. I'll tell you what, that came to me as such a big revelation. It changed my whole life. You know why? Because there's some decisions that we have to make. We have to know that God has the power to make and that God is more than able to get you through it. Isn't that right? When they did, the water divided. Oh, boy. And guess what? As they walked across on dry ground, the Bible says the enemies followed with them. And what was it? Pharaoh's army and all his chariots, his best army. Yeah, he was going to go down there and humble them, boy. You know, guess what? He got humbled. Amen. Because they got to the other side. And guess what? The Red Sea was the baptism of water. And the name of the Red Sea was a type and shadow as the blood being applied to their deliverance. Isn't that right? And when they got to the other side, Pharaoh's army came through to destroy them on that dry ground. Wasn't that stupid of them? Thinking that God would let them go through the Red Sea. Guess what happened? When Israel got to the other side, the water uncongealed and went back down and destroyed the whole army. Amen. Amen. Now, I said all this to tell you this. They had a desert to go through. And guess what? He destroyed their enemies, but then he had to take out the enemies they had inside of them. There had to be some changes with them to get them to the promised land. There had to be some changes. Look at your neighbor and say, I had to be changed. Even though you're born again, your flesh has habits that you have obtained while you were in Egypt. Don't get mad at me just because I'm telling you the truth. You'll be preaching this someday yourself. Or God will put somebody in your life, you'll be teaching this to them. Because it is a truth. Amen. God had brought them through the desert. Now, I can't go through every experience they went through in the desert. But how many experiences can you have in 40 years? A long time, a whole generation. In fact, the Bible teaches that a generation is 40 years. That's right. They were there a whole generation. And you know what? At any time, they were never no more than 11 and a half miles away from the promised land that God promised them. Now, for those who don't know what the promise was, they promised them the land of Canaan, which was a land that was flowed with milk and honey. Houses that were not built by their own hands. That was a type and shadow for a new covenant believer to all the promises of God. Are you all with me? The promises of God are available. Look at your neighbor and say, all the promises of God are available. But I'm going to pick up where Jeff left off because I'm going to say this. We have to choose whether or not we want those promises. When God told the Israelites, choose ye this day whom ye shall serve, he still had to direct them in the right direction while he had them out in the wilderness so they can make it to the promised lands. How many know that God wants heaven on earth as he is in heaven? Jesus prayed that. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in the old covenant, he promised that there'd be days of heaven on earth. God wants your life to be a life of fullness, overflowing, and blessings. Don't let anybody else tell you any different. I don't care how much chaos the devil's making out there in the world. God's got a peaceful place and a place of abundance and healing and health and strength in every area of your life. Well, I never heard of this before, Pastor. I thought I was just going to get saved and go to heaven. No, God's got a lifestyle for you to live so you can live in heaven on earth and people can see how blessed your life is. This is what God told Israel when he brought them through. Now I want you to understand now. This is after they crossed the River Jordan and went into the Canaan land. This is after he taught them in the wilderness for a generation. In fact, the only two people that got to go into the promised land of their generation was Joshua and Caleb. Amen. I named my little boy Joshua and didn't even know what it meant. 30 some years ago. Can you believe that? And guess what his name was? Joshua Caleb. He died a crib death. 2.5 months. Most beautiful baby I ever seen in my life. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not exaggerating. He came out with prayer hands, face up. Children aren't born face up. They're usually born face down. And they don't come out in prayer hands. You know, they're usually, whatever. But, and he had an aura about him. I don't know what God did with this little baby, but I can tell you this, when he died, it did something to me. Something died on the inside of me. And I knew that I knew that I knew, and I hadn't even been filled with the Holy Ghost yet. I belonged to a Mormon church and was a priest in the church. And I was not functioning as a priest at that time. But I knew that this was not God's way. I felt robbed and stolen from. There was something. And you know what? I blamed myself as well. Even though I didn't kill him. I didn't have anything to do with his crib death. But at the same time, I knew there was a God up there that was more powerful than that crib death. It came to my understanding, and that's why I give my life totally to the Lord from that time on. And I believe to this day, God sent that little child to let me know, once I heard the story about Joshua and Caleb, that I would not go there unless I changed my ways. Now, I believe in ultimate grace. I believe once saved, always saved. But I also believe that God tells you you can choose not to go there. Yoo-hoo! Are you out there? We can choose to walk away from that ultimate grace. And God does give us a timeline when we should and when we shouldn't. He only gives us so much time. I don't know what your time is, but I know what my time is. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off for any longer. I know people that have put it off and they're dead today. And I know because they didn't choose God when they needed to choose God. The only thing that says in His Word, you go to hell if you don't choose Him. People don't like to talk about that neither. But if you don't choose Jesus in this life, you're going to hell. I don't know why I said that, but I know what the scripture talks about, and I know Jesus talked about hell more than he did anything else. That and money. Don't get mad at me because I talk about money a lot. Jesus talked about it a bunch. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He also said where your treasure is where your heart is also. Amen. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water and fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills. So he brought them in there.
Guess who brought him in there? Joshua. God used the man of God. Surprising. You know, it's funny. Jesus didn't come down. He didn't lead him in there. He used a man called Joshua. Do you know the word Joshua means the same thing as Jesus? Joshua was a type and shadow of Jesus being our advocate minister to bring us all into the blessings and the promises of God. Are you with me? And it was Joshua that had to go bring the children of Israel through the River Jordan to bring them into the promised land. You know what the River Jordan represented? The Holy Spirit and the anointing of God. See, they already got baptized in water and the blood was applied. Isn't that right? And they crossed the wilderness. They had to go through certain things and certain changes to get there. It took them a whole generation, but God got them there. Isn't that right? Then he had to move Moses out of the way because he was a type and shadow of the law, and the law will never get you where God wants you to go. You can't be under the law. You got to be under grace because you're going to make enough mistakes. The devil will make you feel like you're nothing but less than the devil. But you're more than that. Amen? Amen. Jesus paid a price for you. If we miss the mark, the blood of Jesus is applied. Amen. If you'll confess it. Amen. You have to acknowledge that you make mistakes and you do things wrong. You have to acknowledge that. You can't go around thinking you can do your own thing, God, and just wink at it. It's not that way. He's commanded all men to repent. Amen. And live with a repentant heart. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he will exalt you in due season. Amen. And there's times you have to humble yourself, man. Nobody's greater than his Lord. Not in this life and the life to come. Isn't that right? And when you live in the next life, you're not going to live any different than you're living here. Everybody live by faith. It'll be a little more exciting. Not a little more. It's going to be a whole lot more. Amen. Ain't going to be no devil over your back. Amen. Hallelujah. But I don't know if you know this. The Bible says as he is, so are we in this world. He went to the throne room. He sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. Brought us into the presence of God, and we are in no distance between God than Jesus is. We'll get into that teaching later. But you need to know one thing. When you do sin, it's not the devil's business, man. Satan is not the Lord over your sin. Jesus is. Amen? And that's why a believer should never give up. Look at your neighbor and say, don't ever give up. Because your sin and your death does not have dominion over you. It's the ministry of reconciliation, your Lord and your Savior. Amen? And when you cry out to Jesus, he's there to hear you. Amen? How many times do you forgive your kids? She. Amen? It's the love that bonds to your kids. It's that love. Your neighbor talk ugly about your kids, you're liable to get a black eye. I don't care how bad they are. You have no business talking about my child. Bam! Unless they're wrong and I acknowledge they're wrong, they done them wrong, then I make them do what's right. Amen. The problem we have in this land is a lot of them aren't telling them when they're wrong and correcting them when they need to be corrected. And go make the mistake right if he did offend their neighbor. Did you ever notice that when you do that, the child is better off? There's times that they hurt, but they learn from that hurting. And don't worry about your children when you spank them. You won't hurt them. That's another thing that's being taught in the land today. Don't spank your kids. The Bible says, he that spares a rod hateth his kids. That's right. And that's what's going on. That's why the prisons are full. Because the parents couldn't tell them what's right and what's wrong. Wouldn't teach them. Amen. Amen. Say, oh me. Amen. I've been there, done that. Yoo-hoo. That's why I can't judge my dad. Because I made the same mistakes he made. That's right. I talked on that a lot because I think that's one of our biggest hang-ups, no matter what generation you come out of. Your main problem is you need to forgive your parents. And those who never had a daddy, you need to forgive them anyway, even though you don't know them. Isn't that right? And let God be your daddy. Because the Bible says, I'll be the father to the fatherless. Amen. And I'll be the husband to the widow. Isn't that right? See, everything we receive from God is by faith. The children of Israel, when they crossed the river Jordan, they had to believe that they had the promised land. But guess what? They had another situation come up. You think you ever get somewhere in God and you never have a problem? You got a cross? Come on, man. You're living in fairyland. There was giants in the land. And the natural was telling them, you can't take this land, stupid. They were big, tall giants, five times bigger than them. Yeah, they were weird people. A lot bigger than them. And it looked like they couldn't go in there, but they had to see God as being bigger than the problem. You think you got problems? I don't think so. Isn't that what God just told us in prophecy? Roll the whole of your care over on Him, for He cares for you. The only thing is, you got to look for Him. You can't play with this. I can't play church. You know, come to church today, look good. Yeah. Go out there and live like the devil, you hypocrite. That's the truth. Isn't that right? I'm trying to get to verse 8. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates and a land of olive oil or oil olive and honey. Look what God wants Him people to eat. It sounds like the best to me. You know, I'm just now learning what to eat. Been eating a lot of wrong stuff. My body's paid for it. Amen. But I'm getting back. Amen. The land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Y'all want to have a lifestyle without scarceness? Life to the full, to the overflow? In blessing, I will bless you. God will make you a blessing first before you get the blessing. You know, you find out it's not about you, it's about helping somebody else. Amen. A lot of people, they get to that place and say, oh man, I don't want that. You better want it. You better want to help your sister as much as you want to be helped, because that's the kind of love that's going to bring you in God's best. Amen. Amen. If you're going to walk in the overflow of God, you got to be willing to love someone else the same way. When Jesus said, love thy neighbor as thyself, yoo-hoo, are you there? Are you with me? Hallelujah. The first thing my dad did, or God did, is He brought me to my dad to be a blessing to him. He got in a place where he lost his, give him a job. I said, what? Give him a job. I didn't have the work for myself, let alone give him a job, because I heard the story about tithing and giving. Don't ever shun the word giving. Because when the Bible says give, and it shall be given unto you. Amen. You take God at His word, and He'll take you at your actions. Amen. Amen. James said, in the book of James, he said, you show me your faith without works, I'll show you my faith by my works. Amen. Hello, are you out there? I got my dad down from Michigan. I said, Dad, come down. I got a job for you. Oh, really? I can't find any work. It was during the recession when Reagan just became president. You remember that? Anyway, I got all kinds of stories in. But I'm going to tell you about this one. He got down there and God bring in a little job. He said, now I want you to give that job to him. What? Yeah, I want you to give that job to him. I gave him that job and put him to work. Okay? Guess what? That same day, God brought, like a mushroom, brought in another job. So when he got done with that job, I made a little bit of money. Not very much. He brought in another job. Amen? Then I went over to that and brought him over to that other job. And guess what? God, as he was getting that job done, God brought in two more jobs. And then as he started to get that other one job done, he brought in several more jobs. I got to the place after obeying God in that thing that I couldn't handle it anymore. Amen? So I had to hire some more. Amen? In doing so, I began to increase. Amen? I had a $14,000 tax debt that had to be paid. And they were about ready to take my property. You remember that? Then God told me, he says, if you're going to believe me, I want you to give that $1,100 to your dad so he can pay his taxes. What? I owe $14,000 to the Internal Revenue and you want me to give my dad $1,100? God says, yeah. I gave him $1,100. Guess what? I gave him that $1,100. The next week, I remember the guy's name. You know, when God moves, you don't ever forget it. A guy by the name of Troy. A guy named Joshua out of Troy, Michigan. Anybody know where Troy, Michigan is? He says, I got about seven Walmarts or seven Kmarts. This is back when Kmarts were really doing good. You guys, a lot of you guys ain't gonna live that time. If I said Walmarts, you could relate to it. But there was a time when Kmarts really grew like Walmarts until Walmart came in the picture. Walmart just picked up where they left off. They lost their vision. Kmart lost their vision. Walmart picked it up. That's what I believe. But anyway, this guy named Joshua called me from Troy, Michigan. Says, I got seven Kmarts that need to be painted. I goes, wow. I went out and bid them. Every one of them, I got them all. I got them all. Amen. And you know what? I went and did three of them. I lost four of them. So don't ever worry about losing something because I took more than what I could probably handle. But in time, God, you know, when God takes a tree, he prunes it, cuts it off in air. I couldn't only handle the three that I did. The three that I did within a month's time raised up the amount of cash that I needed for my internal revenue. Amen. Are you with me? My dad got delivered. I got delivered. Because I obeyed God. Was it easy? No, it wasn't easy. But no, I didn't see it all. I had it. They were coming after me, my land, and everything else, weren't they? They didn't get one dime of it. Yeah, we started in the Lord. Amen. What did he say to you when you hear from God? Amen. You got that witness on the inside of you. I talk to you because you're out a lot. Anyway, God. And if you'll come under the wings of shadow of God's wings, one of them's right here at Spirit Life Worship Center. And if you don't commit your ways to God, and you know, God deals with you the same way you deal with the church right here. It's a reflective law. How you treat your church is how you're going to be treated. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. God has hubs where he wants you to go in and submit to the authority there and get under God's authority. Just like you did when you had your mom and daddy. God doesn't do anything different than he does. That's why the family is such a mystery. The family, the marriage is a mystery of the kingdom. Whatever you learned as a child, you can relate it to the spirit world and get yourself in line with what God's doing in your life. Some of you are getting an answer today. Some of you are going to receive it so strong that you'll never be the same from this point on. Will you go through some tests and trials? Yes, you will. But you hang in there for God, because I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to remind you of something. We win. We win. What's up, man? How do you like to play on the winning side? Know you're going to win before the game's even over. Ain't been like the Royals or the Chiefs. They ain't nothing like this game. It's like Kenneth Copeland says, we don't play in nine innings and you're out. We keep playing until we win. Amen. 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 And the fact of the matter is, you already won. Amen. It's living it out in the winning base. Amen. I heard a preacher say one time, you're not the sick trying to be healed. You're healed resisting the devil to keep your body healed. Amen. You're not poor. I like what Jeff said today. You're not poor trying to be prosperous. You're already prosperous. Amen. You got to get the devil out of your affairs and allow prosperity to maintain in your life. Because prosperity was paid for by the blood of Jesus. Everything we do is through the name and the blood of Jesus. I'm going to go over that next week. Amen. You need to know that you got to drive your enemies out of your life and walk the walk and talk the talk. Amen. Hallelujah. And you'll have complete victory. How many want complete victory in their life? Well, the Lord told me today, you got it today. Amen. Amen. You got victory today. Amen. Amen. There are several here today that's going to receive breakthrough. And it's going to bring you in a place you've never been before. But God wants you to obey Him in it. Amen. Amen. You get to that level where you've been believing God for a long time. Stay put and do what the Lord tells you to do. Amen. Because God's accelerating this thing. God's got His foot on the accelerator. And those that obey God, you're going to come into a place quicker than you ever have. We're coming in a time where we're living in the hastening times. God's speeding up the process. He ain't got time to put you through 4 years of seminary. Because most of them are dead anyway. A bunch of logos, head knowledge. That right? That's right. You can have your head full of the knowledge of God. You know that? And not have the Spirit working in you. And that's what Jesus told the woman at the well, right? He says, there cometh a people who worship me in spirit and in truth. Amen. The two-edged sword. You know what the two-edged sword is, don't you? It's more than that. It's the Spirit, the Word, and what is the sword? The tongue. Jesus overcame the devil in the wilderness when He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. You like everything that you're hearing. You're taking it all in. You're absorbing it. You're going to grow in a higher speed than most. Because God has put it within you to grow. You're like a spiritual sponge. You're just soaking it all in. Praise the Lord. You're a good guy too. Amen. God's got some special things for you. Just hang in there. Watch out for offenses. Put your guard up. Because offenses will come. Amen. That's right. Because most people are knocked out of the way through offenses. And Jesus says, he that is not offended in me is the same as blessed. I never stopped going. I went through high and hell water. I mean, I'm telling you. Amen. But if that's what it takes, and you know, if you don't do it God's way, what else are you going to do it? The devil's way? I got news for you. I'm not. Are you kidding me? You think he's going to put you in a good place? I don't think so. It might be fun for a while, but payday comes. Hello, are you out there? I'm not an intellectual preacher. I just preach what God tells me to preach. Amen. I'm not here to be some kind of spiritually intellectual. Hallelujah. I can't even get through this chapter. No wonder God had me preach on this. But this is full of stuff, man. I mean, you know, the land of wheat and barley and vines and figs and pomegranates and a land of oil, olive, and honey. Amen? That, to me, spells out the steaks, sweet potatoes, enough clothes, good car to drive in, my electric bill paid all the time. Amen? Living in a house I didn't build. Amen. A land wherein, if God wasn't concerned about it, why did He put it in here? Amen. These people that talk against prosperity preachers. I got news for you. Everything that God created is all about you. Amen. The Bible said he did it out of the goodness of his own heart, wanting to have people to fellowship with. On the same level, I may ask, or I may tell you. Amen. When Jesus said, you are little gods, you are little gods. When he gave Adam dominion on the earth, he gave him power and authority. Amen. And it's time we take it from the devil and strip him of all what he's doing in the earth. And when the church rises up in the authority that they were given by the name of Jesus, they'll take back what the devil's stolen for generations. I can't get through this book today. I have to pick up where I left off. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand in the presence of God. I'm not done, but I'll just take turns and do it next time. Amen.